It is the WMJ Sports Line on a Saturday morning. I'm Jim Taylor. Good to have you along. Two in-studio guests with us today, honoring the memory of a great guy, Rick Amey, who passed away last week. We welcome to the WMJ microphones today, Mr. Bill Breeden and Bob Mitten. Good to be together. It's all about fellowship in times like this. Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having us here.
Well, and I guess first, let's talk with you, Bob Mitten, a little bit about your relationship with Coach Amey. Initially rivals, right? Coaching at Orion, coaching against Coach Amey at Rock Ridge, and then the perfect alliance. You join forces and become defensive coordinator over at Rock Ridge with that vaunted wing T system that Coach Amey had, and then you blitzed basically on every down defensively. Yeah, we get it. But tell us a little bit about your relationship.
Well, it becomes, Bill can tell you this, it becomes more like a family atmosphere, and the close relationship, it's like a brotherhood. Not a lot of people know that when I first got out of college, Rick was one of the first ones I went and talked to and interviewed with for a teaching and coaching job over at Rock Ridge, and eventually I ended up at Orion, but that's the first time I ever met him, and we hit it off, and then eventually he kept bugging me to come over and coach, but living in Orion made that a little rough for quite a while there, but eventually we made it together, and you know, you put him and Don Work and myself together. It was quite a team there, and the kids bought into our program, like Rick said, and it just, you know, it, when it blends like that, it's just so easy to coach in that, and the kids are so much fun. You know, it wasn't like it didn't have its moments up and down like any sport would, but the memories are tremendous.
And I think Coach Breeden, the one thing that we realize today is you can never beat the clock, and the time goes too fast, because we talk about a lot of these memories and we think, well, man, that was just a couple years ago. No, it wasn't. It was 25 years ago.
It was 25 years ago.
So I guess, why are rivalries important? And, you know, we can talk about Aledo, Rock Ridge back in the days, and, you know, this great rivalry that existed back in that era, but there was great. And the reason the rivalry was so big, because there was mutual respect. And, you know, I guess you needed to bring your A game to the field on that Friday night when we talk about football. And then you can even segue and when we talk about wrestling as well.
Well, Bob hit, and you just hit the nail on the head, and Bob hit the nail on the head. It was more like a brotherhood, and at the same time, rivalry. Oh, my gosh. You know, you talk about Orion and Rock Ridge, Aledo, and Sherrard. And, I mean, we wanted to beat each other desperately. But the good thing about it is, after the thing, we shook hands and we were friends, because there was mutual respect. Everybody knew that the other guy was doing it right. We didn't badmouth anybody. You know, we told our guys, we didn't say, oh, those dirty dog guys from Rock Ridge or something. We said, you better get ready, boys, because they can play. And that's what we preach to them all the time, because we respected the coaches. And Bob will say something about it here in a minute, but off the field and off the mat, we did things together. I mean, we went to Orion and played paintball, and had, I don't know, about what, 80 kids or something. We went to up to Rick's dad's place just south of Milan and played up there. We went out to Coach Swank's grandfather's place and played a couple of times, and of course the kids ate that up. And probably the best time we ever had, we were out north of Aledo here, and I don't know, Bob, how many kids were there? 60? 70?
Oh, yeah, there was a lot.
60, 70 kids, and they go, what's the next game going to be? And we all coaches were standing there looking at each other, and we go, well, why don't all of you guys go ahead and go hide, and then we'll come out and shoot you? one of the best Saturdays ever. But that's the way it was. But then when you met them on the mat, or you met them on the football field, you'd better get ready to go. And we preached that to our kids. And, you know, Rick, you know, the wing T, and it took me a long time to learn this, but he hit it in the interview you had with him, Jim. What you had to do with that wing T offense, you had to count for everybody. So finally, what we did to get ready for Rock Ridge, in practice, we didn't use the football. There's no football, because you have to count for everybody. And As a result, Coach McCarty, Coach Rumbaum, Coach McCormick, myself, we actually came up with a new defense. And we played a 6-5 against Rock Ridge, and we called it the Rock Ridge 6-5 because we had to. And then, Bob, if it's okay, I'll go ahead and tell the first first Rick Amy story. It was up at Rock Ridge. We're playing them, and that was back when Schmalbach was the quarterback. Yeah. And as Rick said, they were averaging, he said 300 yards in the interview. I remember it as 400 yards yeah. game. But with Schmalbach accounting for about half of it.
Yeah.
And in the first quarter, and all at once, there's a flag on the field. And, of course, I was defensive coordinator, and we were on defense. And the guy came over, and I go, what was the flag for? And he goes, unsportsmanlike conduct, coach. And I go, for what? On who? And they said, on number so-and-so. And I go, what did he do? And he goes, he tackled the quarterback, and he knew he didn't have the ball. And I went, what? He goes, he tackled the quarterback, and he knew he didn't have the ball. I said, sir, the quarterback averages about 200 yards a game himself, and you're telling me that we got to guess and make sure that he's got the football before we can talk to him? I said, I'll tell you what, I'm his coach. You're not. Now, you tell him not to tackle him, but I'm not going to. And he's not going to listen to you, so you might as well keep your flag out because we're going to keep tackling him.
Did you ever tell Amy that story?
Oh, yeah, I told him.
What about that, Coach Ben? That's a great story.
I believe it. I'd laugh at that, but it is true. You know, they did such a good job. And then I got to be honest about it, with the color of the jerseys we had, it kind of blended the football right in with it. And the kids were taught, we practice all the time, but you don't got the ball, you still fake because they have no clue. And we worked real hard at that, and it did. You see, you watch some of the game films, the old ones, and you'll see kids going after the other guy, and he doesn't even have the ball. But, you know, another story of Rick, he enjoyed the scheming of it. You know, I've always said, Nat, and when Bill and Rick and us get together and that, we talk about it. It's really like a chess game with live pieces. And that's the way Rick looked at it. He'd set up things prepare for something ahead, and that, and I always knew it was coming. But during the game, you know, his demeanor, If he was here, he'd just be laughing, because the kids can tell you, Workman was the silent man, but Rick was more of he just enjoyed the game and that, and I was the intense one on the sideline. And Rick would turn to Workman and send him down to me and say, okay, Bob, any time now for the defense. And he knew it just upset me right in the middle of the game, and they'd just laugh. Or then he comes down, they're both standing there, and they look at me, and they go, you know, Bob, if you'd stop them once, we might win this game. You know, just irk me in the game and make it, you know, that type of thing. But, yeah, Rick was always thinking ahead in that. I always admired that about him.
So, Coach Breeden, what made his style and his system, the wing tee that he ran, so effective?
Well, several things. One, I mean, obviously they had good players. In 94, right in there, 90, all the way through the, I mean, they had some good football players. And then the next ingredient, of course, was good coaching. You know, I mean, all the, you know, the Rock Ridge staff, we respect them because they knew what they were doing and they were good. And we told our guys, you better buckle up, boys. And, but what made it so tough was that we've already talked about it is that, they were so efficient at faking their plays, and one play built off another play, and they all looked the same, and it was assignment football, and you couldn't let your guard down. You let your guard down one time, and then somebody's going to be running down the field. And defensively, and then when Bob got there, like you said, with the stunning and stuff, well, I'd coached against Bob before, and you know, the stunning, I mean, you had to be prepared. And it's still, I see what Bob thinks of this, but in today's football, this drives me crazy. You know, they go, well, they're stunting here and they're stunting here, and they get through, and this guy didn't get blocked. And I just shake my head. Because I think sometimes football, they make it much harder than it is. You know, ask Bob, see what he thinks. But how do you block a stunning defense? You protect your inside gap. It's that simple. You protect the inside gap. And if nobody can get through the gap, then you – so if you assign this guy to this guy and this guy goes outside and then somebody doesn't – then you see it every Saturday and you see it every Sunday. And my wife years ago bought me from Spencer's, bought me a rubber brick. And I still have that rubber brick. I don't throw it at the TV anymore because I've matured. But, I mean, some of that stuff – I mean, it's hard because – you can, the old adage in football is that whatever coach has the chalk last or the pencil last wins. Because if Bob draws a defense up, I can draw an offense up that will beat it. I can. Vice versa. He can draw something up that'll beat whatever I draw. The key to it is this. Whatever you draw up, here's the key to it. You've got to get your players to do it. There's the difference. You've got to coach them to get where they can do that. If they can do what you want them to do, you'll win. It's that simple. And sometimes now I see people that are so worried about scheme, but just coach your guys up, get them ready to play.
To add to that, when you really look at it, and Rick and Bill and I have sat out and talked about this many times and that, and we look at today's game and that, and Rick talked about it, how they spread them out and how they do this and that, and Dad to Bill's. It's pretty simple what he said, and really to be efficient is, like I said, it's a chess game, but the bottom line is that it still comes down to fundamentals and teaching them. A lot of times anymore, I watch, you know, I still love watching the game and coaching in it.
Sure.
And what you end up seeing is they get stuck, like he said, on running this play or running that play, and we got to have this play put in and all this stuff, that they forget about doing the fundamentals and keep drilling the basics, like he said, so it becomes an automatic thought. They, you know, it's done. They don't have to sit there, okay, I got to, oh, which way am I going and that. You, they know, you know, like he said, protect the inside gap on that there as far as the defense goes. They take the time to know their responsibilities. And if you'll see here again, it's not taught enough to what is your job. Just do your job. You don't have to be Superman. If this is your job, do it to the best of your ability. And then you count on your teammate, your brother there, to do his job. And that's why football is so hard, because you got to get 11 playing as one. And the closer you get them all in, as one unit playing the same, the better your team's going to be. And as a defensive coordinator, I always talk to Rick about it, because, you know, going against his offense and my defense going against my defense against his offense, and that we had quite the practices. And then it was beat down in there and that, and we'd be getting on each other and that. And the kids enjoyed it. But the bottom line is, real simple for defense, confuse the opponents. Like Bill said, you know, give them different looks or different directions and that. And if they're not prepared, the kid goes the wrong way because he really been faked out. And that's pretty simple defense. But, to be honest about it, I think that's where today's age and that is really screwing up a lot. And that's my opinion. And what Bill and Rick and I talked about it, was the facts that they don't drill on those fundamentals and basic. Get it in their head. But mine has always been keep it simple, stupid.
We respected each other so much, Jim, that we'd do things like this. We were wrestling Orion one time over there, and they had a little guy that I always liked him to wrestle because he was on fire all the time. And technically he was sound. And after the meet that night, I went over to Bob and I said, I'm going to borrow this kid for a minute. And he goes, oh, okay. So I grabbed the kid. Bob, can I say his name or should I not say?
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah,
the little Peterson kid. And I took him over to our guys, and I said, okay, fellas, we just got done with this meet, and here's what I want. Look at this guy. And we all saw that match, his intensity, and he was working, and his double leg. This is what we're looking for right here, this right here, what he just did, and you just saw it. And I patted him on the back and shook his hand. I said, nice job, buddy. And I told my guys, I said, as he walks by you, pat him on the shoulder, because you just saw a really good job done. Well, we respected each other, and we respected each other's wrestlers and players. I mean, it was there.
And you know, I was going to ask you, Coach Mitten, and you can shed some light on this too, in terms of just how much you miss. Let's talk about football first, because football is a little bit different still today, I say, because the way youth sports are. Youth sports is you play way more games than practice. High school football is more practice than games. So there's more coaching that goes on, I say, in football, because, like I said, you're practicing 4 or 5 days a week to get ready for one game on a Friday. So the relationships, I think, from a coach-student-athlete are built a little more solidly through practices in maybe football with that relationship. How much, I guess, do you miss that, Coach Mitten, and that camaraderie you had with Coach Amy and just the days of preparation and getting ready for the season, getting ready for that, you know, Friday night matchup with, you know, Alito back in the day or Sherrard or whoever the Rockets are playing on that any given Friday night?
Well, you know, like I said, it becomes like a brotherhood as far as it goes. You know, I guess you look at it like, you know, you turn around and you're used to seeing him or you're calling him and that. And well, even Bill said it, even when we were done coaching together and that, I talked to Rick probably 3-4 times a week. And that I'd call him and we'd talk and we'd still laugh at stuff and we'd do stuff together and that. So, I mean, it became that brotherhood, but the ability to laugh and clown with each other, and then you have your moments. I ain't going to sit here and tell stories. You have your moments like any brother. You're going to disagree with them on that, and you have. But it was always the respect for each other's ability and our families. His kids are like my kids and vice versa. But all the time we spent together in that, I still laugh. You know, you still pull pranks. You know, I don't want to get away from football, but but wrestling, I'm sitting at the sectional meets at Rock Ridge, and I'm sitting there coaching my kid, and Rick's standing kind of behind me doing his usual kid, and he's yelling at the official, and the official turns and looks at me, and I'm sitting there. I ain't said a word, and he's giving me a dirty look. And I'm like, what, you know, and I'm talking to my wrestler, then Rick trips something out again, and the official comes over one more time, and I'm going to throw you out of here. And I'm like, up, and Rick's just kind of looking the other way, looking up at the sky and whatnot. And he got me kicked out, and I had to go back and smack him one, you know. And it just, but he just laughed, thought that was the funniest thing, you know. And that's the kind of way it goes. Bill always talked about this, and this is Bill's words, but I agree 100%. You know, we look at each other, and before, even, well, football, wrestling, any time we meet, he said, you know, you always go home and you sharpen your teeth and that before you get out there. And that's true. Because, well, like we said, you know, we doggone it, we're going to beat them guys and that. And, you know, we're not taking any prisoners and that. But once it was over, like he said, hell, we'd shake hands and give each other a hug and that, and the respect was there.
I have to tell my best Rick Amy story.
Yeah, that's what we have you for. Not Mitten's got to tell his best.
Oh God.
I told the boys this at the visitation the other day. And there was Steve and Kevin and Keith and Kevin, I guess. And I said, Steve, I know this wasn't you, but I don't know which one of you this was. We were at the Rock Ridge Open, and they were little kids. And they had brought some coral risers out, and the workers were on the coral risers doing their work at the tournament. And one of the boys, I don't know which one, came over and crawled under the coral risers and wouldn't come out. Kay had come over and said, you get out from underneath there. Come on out. Come out now. Come on. Wouldn't come out. Finally, Kay came over to Rick. Rick and I were standing right in front of him. Rick's got a bag of popcorn, eating the popcorn, and we're talking. And Kay goes, Rick, you got to get him out from under there. I got to go back to work. So she left, and Rick's still eating popcorn. And he takes a handful of popcorn and reaches around the corner and just throws it on the floor. And we're still talking. Well, pretty soon his little hand came out and got some popcorn and disappeared. And Rick never said a word. We're still talking. He takes another handful, throws that out there, and this little hand comes out. And he reaches around the corner and grabs his son by the wrist and drags him out. Never said a word, never got excited, just pulled him out from underneath there and lured him out with the popcorn. I told that story for years. I thought it was hilarious. Oh, and I think Kevin pointed at Keith and goes, it was him. Well, I really don't know which one it was, but and Rick never said a word. Never said a word, just threw the popcorn on the floor.
And by the way, there's a great picture of Coach Amy with Steve. I believe it's Steve Amy. They did a story on Steve at the newspaper, the Bureau County Republican in Princeton. And there's a picture of Rick Amy basically holding Steve at a youth wrestling match. Great picture that sums this all up. All right, give me a good Rick Amy story, one of the favorites you have here, Coach Mitten.
Well,
I have so many of them.
Oh, gosh. I'll give you two because I'll give you one real quick. Where he always liked to talk, you know, and that coaches, they said it the other night at the visitation about turning around and we're going to we're going to a camp and Coach Workman and I, and I can't remember who the other one, were in the car sitting there and he's driving and we're going down the interstate and I don't know, he's doing 80 or something and when he talks, he's got his hand on the wheel. He puts his hand, his right hand on the back of the seat, and he turns around. And he goes, you know, and he starts talking. He's not even watching the road, and I'm looking for the seatbelt, man. I'm kind of like, watch the. He always did that. Just turn around, start talking, forget the road, forget I'm driving, and that. It just scared the tar out of Workman and I. You know, we always got, now, you don't watch the road now, and he'd start laughing. But one I'm going to tell is, I've told a lot of people this too because it's so funny in that we used to be in the day where you just exchange tapes over the line online, but used to have to go meet them and exchange tapes and that. And for the championship, we met Georgetown down at Illinois State at the stadium there to exchange tapes before the state championship. And Coach Workman and myself went with Rick down there like usual. And we talk football and that and what we're doing and things like that. And we get down there and we get out and we're standing in the parking lot. We're exchanging tapes and Rick's talking to the Georgetown coach. And we happen to look. Well, Rick's got his hands in his pockets, both of them, you know, and his pants pocket. Well, that kind of pulls his pants apart. And we look down and his zipper is all the way down and it's stuck wide open sitting there and I'm Workman are looking at each other, and I have to think that guy's probably wondering, well, we got this. Look at this character, you know, and we're laughing, and then we look at each other, and Rick, being the person, the people person like he is, he just loves to talk to people and that. He's over there telling about the new plays we put in for him and what we're going to be doing and stuff. He's giving them our game plan. And Don and I are looking like, well, just give them the playbook. Why don't you? But that was Rick. He said, I didn't get, you know, it was like, hey, we're going to get them anyway, you know, and it's kind of like, oh, Rick, you know. But that was Rick. He just was just friendly and just kept right on our talking.
And then you did get him. All right, we'll take a break quickly, and then we'll get to your next story, Coach Breeden. Remembering the great Rick Amy, who passed away last week. You're listening to the WMJ Sports Line. All right, back on the WMJ Sports Line. Carry on, Coach Bill Breeden.
One of my favorite, we wrestling up at the Stillman Valley Tournament, and we always stayed at the same hotel that Rock Ridge stayed. And we were in our room, and, you know, everybody's in their room, lights out and everything early. And all at once, I forgot something down in the van. We had taken a van to the tournament. I go, I better go get that. So I went down, and out there, they've got an enclosed outdoor stairwell. So I go down, I'm going back, and I heard something behind me. And I looked, I didn't see anybody, so I went, I go, well, definitely somebody's behind me. And I go, who's there? Nobody answered, so I went back down. Well, then up against the corner, here's one of the Rock Ridge wrestlers. Okay, Bob knew, there's Wayman Momans hiding in the corner. And I go, Wayman, what are you doing? Oh, nothing, Coach. And I go, what do you got? Well, he sneaked out and went, and he had 4 cheeseburgers and 3 orders of fries. And I go, Wayman, Coach will kill you. And he goes, you want a cheeseburger? he was trying to bribe me. I said, Wayman, you better get where you're supposed to be, bud. And he goes, Coach, don't tell on me. I said, Wayman, here's the deal. I'm not going to squeal on you. If Coach asks me, I'm going to tell him where I saw you. Fair enough. So he went off the next morning. We're getting ready to leave. Here comes Rick down the hallway. And he goes, hey, Bill, I got to ask you a question. I go, yeah. And he goes, do you see Wayman? And I went, yeah. And he goes, did he have food? And I go, yeah. He's overweight this morning. And I went, oh, okay. And he goes, he walked away and he looked over his shoulder and he goes, I'll help you out sometime too. Then, same thing, but a difference. There's a black-haired heavyweight, Bob, I won't say his name, but I'm going down the hall to our rooms and this guy, hey, Coach, how you doing? Their heavyweight went down. And he goes, hey, Coach, can you help me? And I go, sure, what do you need? And he goes, well, those guys went off and took my key. I can't get in the room, and I need my stuff out of there. You got a credit card? And I go, well, yeah. He's in. He's in the room. And he goes, thanks, coach. Gave him a card back. Well, then we got to Stillman Valley High School. Rick came over, and he goes, what are you doing? And I go, what do you mean? He goes, what'd you do? And I go, I don't know what you mean, Rick. And he goes, you helped him get in that room. He trashed that room. That's why he was getting in there. He trashed the room. And I go, Rick, I sorry, bud. And he goes, that kid that we're talking, he goes, you can't trust him. Don't you ever trust him again. He goes, there's kid stuff everywhere in there. And I said, I'm sorry. I had to get out of there.
All right, so I'm just curious, Coach Mitten, so what's the, and maybe this may be too difficult for you to tell us on the air, what's the last conversation you really had with Coach Amy? What were some of the things you
Well, we first off, we talked about, not giving up, and we talked about it's not a battle, it's a war, that this is something that, it's going to take a while, and we always tell the kids to fight, and that don't give up, and that's what we talked about that. And then we talked about some of the memories and things like that, or things that like we're kind of doing here, some of the memories and stuff, and some of the stuff we joked about and that, and then about pretty much what you said, once she realized that this time. That, the brotherhood, he said, I love you, brother, and you take care, and we pretty much see you on the other side, and just conversation pretty much like that. And then we talked, and then Rick, he was at peace with himself, and I guess it helped me a little bit, because he was comfortable in that, and he'd always, we always had this battle. Him and I was, more Trump, not thinking Trump's the best, but we always felt he was better than Biden thing. And he knew my wife was more the other way. So he'd always send her jokes and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And, just get her mad in an old wet hand. And then he'd do that because then she'd rip on me. And then he just thought that was the funniest and he'd bring that up. When we talked about that, and even when he was laying there, he'd send a couple of jokes to my wife. And that, and she said, well, he must be doing better than that, but then she'd still get on me, and then I'd text him, and then he'd text back a little joke and stuff, and that. And I'll give you a quick thing, though. He always remembered, and he always brought up that this is a wrestling thing and that, and we're down at the state tournament, and we're staying at the same motel and that, and it's time for weigh-in, and Bill will remember this one. And, you have to get there early to weigh in before they wrestle a period of time. And he gets up, and he's out before we are. And he looks out in the field out here in this plowed field. I know you knew it. And it's early, like I said. And it's fog, man. You can't hardly see anything. And Rick's getting in their carryall, our van. And he looks over, and there's somebody out in the middle of this field. And it's not like at the edge. He's out in the middle of that, and he's digging in this frozen dirt and whatnot, this plowed field. And it's like, it looks like he's burying something. And he comes to me later. He goes, Bob, I got to talk to you. And I'm like, what, Rick, and all that. And he goes, hey, he says, I'm out there. We're getting in our van. I look out in this you could barely see him. He's out in the fog out there, and he's burying something. So I go out, and it's one of the Rust boys. And I won't say which one. And he says, I look at him, and I say, he goes, what in the heck are you doing out here? And he says, oh, coach, don't tell. Well, kids like they are clowning around down there. Bill, he has the same thing. They were clowning around the room, and they busted the lamp in the room. Well, sure weren't going to let me find out about it. So he took this lamp. Went out in the middle of the field, and he was burying the lamp in the field. And then
in the fog, too.
Yeah, out there in the fog. Like I said, you couldn't hardly see him out there. And I'm like, well, how did he get away with that? There was a lamp there. Well, then when his mother wasn't looking, he ran upstairs and stole his mom's lamp upstairs and put it in the room so I wouldn't find out. And Rick starts laughing when he says, okay, I won't. He says, I don't know. He said, Bob, I had to tell you. He said, it was so funny. He said, we were laughing so hard. He's out in the middle of this field burying it before you guys leave, so you wouldn't find out.
Well, and then Rick and Bob told me about that. So then I saw Rusk later, and his shoes are muddy. And I go, where have you been? He goes, I don't want to talk about it.
All right. That's great. So, and then from your standpoint, Coach Mitten, I mean, the conversations – here, it was interesting. I heard what you said. I was going back to the studio to get ready for the show, and it kind of hit me what you said to Coach Breeden. You know, when you experience the death of a loved one, right? I heard you say to Coach Breeden, well, I'm expecting him to call me any day. And I think a lot of people out there that have lost a loved one, you know, that's the first thing that it really hits them. They're waiting. They talk to this person so often and communicate with this person so often, and that call ain't coming back. I mean, that's got to be the tough adjustment for you, I'm thinking. I know it's probably tough to talk about that, though, but that hit me a little bit what an emotional thing to say.
Well, like I said, you know, it's we were close that way, and the thing is, it's like a family member. You know, when you don't see your brother or sister or family, you know they're still there, you know, and they're still your family. And that's what we'd fall just to check in each other, and he goes, well, what are you doing and stuff like that? And it just that feeling, you know, I'm used to having talked to them, like I said, 2-3 times a week and that, and hey, what are you doing? What's going on and that? And then we talked about setting things up. And then, I have so much respect for Rick, just from the standpoint, I don't know how many people even realize that his dad wasn't doing so well for quite a while there. And, every day, he would drive from Illinois City to Milan, to take care of his dad every day. And I said, you know, how many people can do it just so many days, let alone every day for a long period of time? And the saddest part was that now, once Rick's dad passed away, that we had talked about, now we can do some of our bucket things we had talked about, you know, like we could go to Florida or go some different places. And Coach Workman and him and I had talked about going different places, and then like Bill and us, the brotherhood talked about, hey, let's start meeting maybe once every 2 weeks or a month and have coffee and just talk about like we're doing here. Then this all came. So that was kind of a rough thing to take too. So, but as far as it goes, you know, with Rick, it was just, we'd always stay in touch and you said it, I expect him, you know, just to call to see you. But then Steve's oldest one, Cooper, said the same thing when we were up at talking to Rick there, that he said, I expect Grandpa to come through the door any time.
Yeah.
And, you know, that just kind of, there's a gripper right there. It just, they affected so many people. And, you know, the respect for Rick, I was just talking about out there about how many people through the visitation, it was a half hour earlier and there's a line out the door, you know, and it went way past the time, but the people that come and all the lives that they have affected, and that I know he's up there and he had to see that.
Well, he'd want to be on the show today.
Oh yeah. Especially with that guy over there.
A couple of days before he passed, I got a text, and Bob had been telling me about the stuff he'd been sending Mona, and there was no setup. I did this. Whatever. All the text was, Mona's mad at Bob. that was the last one I got. Mona's mad at Bob.
You know, and when we have these conversations and we honor somebody. And I'm so happy you said Coach Jamie was at peace when he passed. I mean, that's I'm thankful for that. I mean, that's important to hear that. We're always at these points in our life where when we look back at memories, we always think, well, did I enjoy the experience at that moment? You know, because we reflect now on, you know, what happened in the past. That's a lesson about today, is you have to enjoy the experience while you're in it. And from an interscholastic athletic standpoint, coaching, I know, can be so difficult because you're always looking ahead after you play a game on Friday night. It's always, well, we have to get ready for next week, or, you know, we had this triangular tonight, got to get ready for this quadrangular or this invite next weekend. Is it, I mean, that's the one thing about interscholastic sports that is so challenging, because you always kind of have to look ahead. And do you get a chance to really savor those moments, or it's just the way it is? The only way you can savor those moments is when you can talk about the memories of them, I guess, if you know what I mean, if that's a dumb question.
No, I was blessed because years ago, many years ago, as a matter of fact, I had a pastor that sat me down and talked to me. Bob can relate to this, that, you know, obviously we're intense people. And he sat me down and he goes, and he talked about the very thing you just mentioned. Jim, he goes, I know you love what you're doing, but do you always enjoy what you're doing? Can you enjoy it as you go through it? And I reflected on that, and he made a point with me. And from that point forward, yes, I look forward to the next thing. But yet at the same time, man, wherever you're at and whatever you're doing, and enjoy that moment. And I did that, and it was very reassuring.
You know, to add to that, this came out when Kevin spoke at the funeral on that, and this is something that Rick and I had sat and talked about too. And, you know, I think sometimes you people go into these other careers and things like that, they make a lot more money in that, but the family atmosphere and the brotherhood, and I call it the extended family, because, well, you look at the number of kids that came back to the visitation that Rick seen, and that's your extended family in that. And being intense and whatnot, but the kids, you know, they're there because they want you to push them and get them where they want to go. But we were just talking about this with Coach Workman the other night, was sitting there, that you got to appreciate it, because, you know, we've been talking about all the really great things and things in the gap, but there was a time where coming up through the gate at Rock Ridge there, and they were 0-9. Workman was talking about him and Rick. They couldn't even get to the shed for the meeting because the parents surrounded them, and that was not a pretty sight, I guess. I was not there, but you know, and then all of a sudden things turn around, and then you're a number one plus. It's a roller coaster ride, and Rick and I talked about it, but what it tells you is you better enjoy the ride, because it could be sometimes it's not always good, but Rick always seemed to try to make it the best he could. And I had a lot of respect for, you know, somebody that can do that and just keep riding on a chugging.
Well, and that's the one thing I'll say about Coach Amy, and I know what you're talking about there, is, you know, there are those times, and you see it where coaches are criticized, right, and there's a group out to get him, or they want a coaching change, and then that coach will change his style or change his philosophy, but in the end he gets offed anyway, that he succumbs to the pressure of the mob and they still get rid of him. And I the one thing I always appreciate about Coach Amy, he did it his way. You know, he runs his system, he runs his style, and if you want to criticize him about it, go ahead, you criticize him. But in the end, he got the last laugh, because he had the success in terms of that. And he didn't change his style. He stayed the same way.
You know, and then the other thing that I really want to bring out, because it's true, is that and Bill can attest to this, or any coach that's worth his salt, to be a good coach, I think people sometimes forget that they think you walk on the field, you coach, and then you go home and you don't do nothing. Yeah. You know, and you forget, there ain't nothing, you know, okay, oh, they just do this and do that. They don't realize all the time behind the scene or going and doing this and that. And, well, like Rick said, well, somebody will call you up and we've all done this, all of us. You know, coach, I got a problem in that. Well, then you end up, you know, I had a kid call me, well, more than one, but, example, it was like 2:30 in the morning. He calls me in that, and he had taken his mom's car, and he wasn't even 16, and went out in the snow and got it stuck, and he didn't want mom to know. So he calls me up, and I have to go out and pull him out, and then you're going to tell mom, you're doggone right, let's go. And I had to go wake his mom up. But it's the same thing. Rick did the same thing. And I was going to say this, is that we talked about this and that, and it's true. I give all the credit in the world to our wives, Kay and Deb and Mona, because Rick and I said one of the biggest regrets we have was the time that we spent away from our own immediate family for extended family because of the commitment it takes to be a good coach. And Rick felt the same way. He told Kay that. And like I said, we had good conversations about it because, you know, we weren't there as much as we felt we should have been for our own kids, but our extended family to be a good coach took that, required that.
Yeah, and I'll tell as we wind down here, before social media was big in the internet, when we do our games on Friday night, and we, you know, track scores of other games, basically we'd have to have a stringer, a correspondent at that other venue. And it always would be Kay Amy for Rock Ridge. And I can recite her number still to this day. You know, I still remember her number because how many times I called it back in the 90s to track information on Rock Ridge. And what a pleasant lady, man. I mean, great. And then Coach, his kids, man, Steve and Keith and Kevin were such great kids, and it was such a pleasure covering those kids back in the day. And I guess as I wind down, I just want to ask Coach Mitten, you know, it's when you coach your kids, that can always be a challenge, and you can be really hard on them. And I know Coach Amy was pretty demanding on the three boys. Was he a little bit softer on the grandkids? You know what I'm saying? They always
say,
because I'm sure Steve, Keith, and Kevin will say, come on, Dad, man, you were a lot tougher on us than you were on the grandkids.
There is no doubt. I laugh because you brought that up real quick. Was when Steve was freshman, he'd come up and that, and Rick was dead set on not bringing him up because, you know, how would it look and that? And I sat there and I watched him and I watched him and the amazing things he could do. And I looked at him and goes, there is no way we're not bringing him up. And then, what was it, the first game or whatever, he runs for a touchdown on the kickoff, and it's like, okay. Now, you know, they'll accept it now, you know, but he had to make his own trail because he was not going to show any type of favoritism. Then you turn around now, and he just, he loved the grandkids. You looked at the pictures and that they had there. And that, there was tons of them because he loved his grandkids. He loves kids. But he'd play with them, spoil them, and then he'd send them home, and they're like, Dad, you know?
Yeah, that's the way it is. All right, well, gentlemen, man, always great to see.
Thanks, you.
Great resources, man.
Thank you.
Coach Mitten and Coach Breed, always great. And we miss Coach Amy dearly and wanted to honor his memory today. And like Coach Mitten said, I know a lot of us out there, he said it, man, are waiting for Coach Amy to send a text or make a phone call. Thanks again, Coach
Thanks
Breed
you.
And Coach Mitten.
Thank
honoring
you.
A great coach and teacher in the area. Rick Amy passing away last week. You're listening to WRMJ and WRMJ.com. I'm Jim Taylor on the WRMJ Sports Line. You-